may be here from about 9:30 to noon. And then if you come back in the evenings, you could be here from 5 to 7 or so. And Wednesday's the same kind of deal. You may get here at 5 and leave around 7:30 or somewhere in there. But just kind of think through that. I don't want to belabor this or take too long. I'm just trying to get you to roughly think. And now here's what I want you to do. Here's the big question of the evening. Giving your time. We're talking about the time that we give to the Lord. So circle on there if you don't mind. And it's just between you and the Lord. We're not going to take a grade. You're not going to make an F in church tonight, so everybody can relax. But think about the time that you would say, this is time that is really dedicated. I give this to the Lord. Circle those times that would fall in that category. I'll give you just a second to do that. The time that you give, your time that you give to the Lord's work or his kingdom, those kind of things. And now that you're kind of thinking hard about that, let me tell you this. It's a trick question. Because hopefully, maybe some of us in the room thought, you young whippersnapper, you should know better. It all belongs to God, right? But many times, this is what, as I thought through this, especially when we see videos like this, here is this lump of time that you have that's totally at your discretion. How will you spend it? Will you use it for the Lord? Will you use it selfishly? And we tend to think that way. We tend to think, it's my time, and I'll kind of divvy it out and make the decision of how it's used. Now, the reality is, as we look tonight, Jesus saw his time on earth totally different than that. That was not his perspective at all. He would have saw those kind of surveys and just kind of laughed, because the perspective of Almighty God is totally different when he thinks about time. His time wasn't really his, and that's what we're going to look at. And I really want to ask this question. Does our view of our time, my time, your view of your time, does it align with the way Jesus saw his time that he spent on earth? And that's what we'll spend a little time thinking about tonight. We're going to be in John chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. Just two little verses. Go ahead and get there, and I'm going to read the verses so we can kind of have it before us. We'll read it a couple of times because it's a pretty simple thing that he said, but it's profound if you slow down and let it kind of sink into you. John 11, verses 9 and 10. And if you don't mind, I'm going to pray before we read that. Father, we come before you wanting to know your will. We want to know how to serve you. Lord, we want to know how to think properly according to your way and your will. We want to have a heavenly view of our moments, our time here on this earth. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to think about our weekly schedules. Lord, to see if there's areas that need adjusting. But more than that, that we could take a look at our attitudes about what we believe to be ours and what we believe to be yours, and how we can align our thinking with the thinking of Jesus. Now guide us through this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Follow along as I read verse 9 and 10 in John there. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Now, the interesting part for me is this little nugget about how Jesus kind of viewed time is couched right in the middle of another pretty important story, one that this particular thing would get pushed to the sideline. It's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. That's where this is found. And where we pick it up is Jesus has been told that Lazarus was really sick, and he tells his disciples, oh, this won't end in death. And then he spends 2 days far, far away from Bethany. And he comes to this point, and he says, it's time for us to go back, fellas. And that's where we're going to pick up this conversation. Back up just a couple of verses there to verse 7. And when Jesus says, we're going to go back, This is what they say. Verse 7. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." That's where Bethany is. And the disciples said, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again?" Basically, they say, "Wait a second. What are you thinking here? We just came from there, and they were ready to kill you. The rumors were floating around that they were ready to stone you, and they were doing all they could to take you out. And you want to go back to that area?" And then Jesus says this little phrase. And then after that, he'll say, "Lazarus is dead. We need to go back." Oh, they kind of fit clue into at least that part of it. But they still don't clue in to what Jesus says here, the best that I can see. Let's read it again in that context. So they say, "What do you mean? We're going to go back there. They're going to kill you." And Jesus says, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." The first thing that I want to see, and really that the scriptures tell us, that Jesus makes clear when he thinks about his time, and his time on earth, and conversely it would be ours too, that each one of us are only given so much time on earth. You see how it says it? Are there not 12 hours in a day? That was conventional wisdom for them back then. The Jews, the Greeks alike, they all saw the day as 12 hours. It might not have been hours like we think. 12 equal periods, depending on the length of the day. That's how they broke it down. So when Jesus said this, they're thinking, okay, or what are you saying? We got to get moving so it doesn't get dark on us before we get there? That's not at all what Jesus was trying to say. He was using this common thought that everyone knew and everyone spoke of when they spoke of the length of a day to remind them of the length of a person's life. Because you remember the question. They asked him, "They're going to kill you. You know that, don't you? They're going to stone you. Why in the world do you want to go back there?" And he says, "There's only 12 hours in a day." Matthew Henry wrote about this, and to me, this phrase has stayed with me as I've studied this for a couple of weeks. Man's life is a day. The brevity of our life. Each one of us are given so much time. You think of how God inspired the brother of Jesus, James, that we've been studying on Wednesday. In fact, we just looked at this last Wednesday in James 4:14. This is what James says about our life. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And what's interesting is the verse right before James 4:14, James quotes Proverbs 27:1 that says this, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Now, he was talking about a day. But I just found that interesting as I was thinking about Jesus using this as a metaphor for our life. That a human being's life is like a day. It's a mist. It's so brief. We need to think like the psalmist in Psalm 90 that says, "Teach us to number our days." To recognize we're not guaranteed another one. We have what's before us. We only have so many days. And Jesus definitely understood this way of thinking. So when he says this to them, now remember, they're saying, "They're going to kill you. Why do you want to go back there?" He basically says, "Listen, God has given me this much time. Whatever that is, you don't know, and I don't even really know. But I'm going to live every moment to honor God." Because Jesus knew what he was going back for. There's no doubt that he knew, because he says in a minute, "Lazarus, our friend, is dead." And they go, "Oh," so they're ready to go back. But he knows what he's going to do when he gets there. Because he said before that, "This sickness will not end in death." Because he intended to glorify God with the raising of Lazarus from the dead as a precursor to what was going to happen to his eternal resurrection. Lazarus would die again, but Jesus, of course, wouldn't. And this moment was incredibly important. And Jesus wasn't afraid of what they may do to him. Because he knew he would do everything he had to do until God was done with him, and then God would take him home. Well, that's a sobering thought to think about. How do we see our time? Do we see it that way? Because the question for me is, Jesus saw his time as borrowed time from God. He saw it as God's time. It wasn't his to kind of, you know, part and parcel out what he was. Every second he lived was lived in the thought that this is belongs to God. It's his time. And when we think about us and our stewardship of time, we really need to think this way about it. It all belongs to God. And the important thing that we have all got to begin to live in, and we'll see it here in just a second, is we need to be living in the presence of the Holy God in the form of his Spirit and walking through every moment, giving ourselves to him all the time. That is stewardship of our time. It's not saying, oh, well, I can carve out this little section of my week and do this, and which is a great thing to do, to plan and to do those things. We need to do that, and that's why God's given us the ability to do that. Man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. Isn't that what it says, I think, in Proverbs? So here's this main idea, this foundational thing that we need to lock into our mind. I was trying to look at the time, see, I looked at the clock on the screen. So it's 10 after 10. So anyway, sorry, got distracted. So that's the main point. But now he's going to take this thing and move it into the spiritual realm and really get us to think about the choice that we have to make when we consider that God has given us all the time we have to either walk in light or to walk in darkness. So here's the next thing that we see, that walking in the light brings purpose to the time that we've been given by God. You see it there at the rest of verse 9. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. Now again, they could have interpreted this as saying, we only have so much time, fellas, and we need to get back down there, and we don't want to be walking through the night, and we, you know, we can only have the sun, the light of this world, so long, so we don't want to stumble through the dark, so we need to get going. They could have thought about it that way, but that's not at all what Jesus means here. If anyone, anybody, we all have the choice to either walk in the light or in the darkness that we'll see here in a second. But if we choose to walk, that word shows up several times in the New Testament. It's a Hebraism that means a way of living, walking around, the way that we think, the way that our habits and our practices, we walk. We have a certain walk of life. We've heard that term before. If anyone walks in the day, walks in the very presence and blessing and personal relationship with the living God. If anyone walks in the day, he says what? He does not stumble. One of my favorite verses that has carried me through my life is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, if we trust we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding, in all of our ways, all the seconds of our days, we acknowledge him. We acknowledge that he's present. We walk with him. And what does it say? He will make our path straight. Literally, he will smooth out the road in front of us. Jesus said, if anyone chooses this path and walks, makes it their way of life to walk in the light of the presence of God, he will not stumble. Now that's a powerful line. Because remember the context. That means Jesus really had this perspective that God was going to carry him through whatever in the face of some pretty scary moments. He had complete confidence. And why? Just to finish out the verse. Because he sees what? The light of this world. Now again, he wasn't talking about the sun. He was talking about the S-O-N, the sun. Because just if you want to, you can flip back, or you maybe want to write it there in your margin of your Bible. John 9, 5. This is what Jesus said about himself in reference to what the light of the world was. As long as I'm in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So when he says this, he's saying, the reason you're able to make it through life and time is going to be focused, and you'll be able to, if you walk in the light, You're going to find purpose in every moment. You will be evaluating your attitude, your thoughts in every second of your life. You're not just going to go to a random movie just to blow off steam if that movie is not going to help you stay connected to Christ. You're not going to participate in certain activities that are going to distract you from your relationship with God. Because in every second, that's what you will find yourself in conversations about Jesus when you're thinking about Jesus when you're sitting at work. When you're at a restaurant and the waitress is stinking it up and you're getting frustrated because your food's cold. If you're walking with Jesus in the light, you don't stumble through that moment and because they saw you pray for the meal to not give glory to God. And when we do this, we find that we can say, like the psalmist did, that Psalm 27, this is just all through Scripture. Psalm 27:1 says this, and I just found it incredibly interesting in light of the way Jesus is using these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? You see, Jesus told them basically, I'm not afraid of them killing me because I know that God has my time. There's 12 hours in a day. We're all given so much time. And it just makes me ask the question, how many times am I misusing the time that God gives me because I base a decision I would make on fear? I don't trust him to carry me through it, or I'm afraid I won't be able to do what needs to be done. When we are faced with the opportunity to glorify God, we just need to step into it. And of course, we need to take godly counsel, and we need to seek God in his word, not just run into something because we think, oh, God's going to protect me. You better make sure he's calling you to do it. We don't have the pipeline that Jesus had, but we do have Jesus in us. And we need to walk through those things with confidence. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. I wrote this question down and I just keep stumbling over it. What is it that God is calling you to do that scares you to death? I don't want to do that. That's too scary. That's too much for me. And we can get hung up here because this is it. This is the turning point. I either walk in the light of God's presence or I can walk in the darkness, which brings us to the next part. Walking in darkness brings confusion to the time that God has given us. You see what it says in verse 10. But if anyone, there's the word again, if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. How many times in the book of John did Jesus refer to the Spirit as living water that is within you and flows out of you? Jesus understood the darkness of the world. He understood that there would be times when darkness would even reign, even while he was here. Listen to how he says it in Luke 22 when he's being arrested. He says this in Luke 22:52. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers and the temple guard and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me." And then he says this, "But this is your hour. This is your moment when darkness reigns." You see, someone who walks in their way of life in darkness, they stumble. That's what Jesus said. Life is full of confusion. When we live from our own human heart perspective, we get confused. We get everything all out of whack. I mean, even here in the text, in verse 16, they're still not understanding it. And look what Thomas says in verse 16. Then Thomas called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." They were still focused on Jesus dying and not understanding the depth of the relationship that Jesus was calling them to. We can live by this purely human perspective when we're trying to just walk through a normal week. I've got to get this done. I've got to get this done. That we miss those moments when we can connect with who God intends us to connect with. You know, Jesus said to Peter when Peter said, "Lord, you can't go to the cross. You can't do that." And Peter turns to him after he looks at his disciples and says, Y'all know what it says, get behind me, Satan. But then he says, you have in mind the things of men, not the things of God. Because if we live in darkness, we get confused on these kind of points. I always think about the parable of the Good Samaritan and how those religious fellows that walked to the other side of the road and boogied on down the road instead of helping the person in need, I'm sure they had schedules. They were busy people. They didn't have time for that. And when we can begin to live our lives in the realm of the Lordship and the presence of God, like it says in this verse, that the light is in us instead of in when you're walking in darkness, the light is not in you. In a constant relationship with God, he's able to stop us, to slow our roll, to change our daily plan for something that he has intended for us. But when we're walking in darkness, we stumble. We stumble right past the things that God intended for that day. And oh, don't you know the stories we would be able to tell when we gathered together to worship? When our schedule got wrecked by Jesus and we had an opportunity to talk to someone about him and maybe even lead them to the Lord. We can get this all out of whack. When we begin to think it's my time, that I can divvy up and I can graph out on a piece of paper. And again, that's a good way to kind of get a picture of your day. It wasn't intended to kind of guilt everyone into coming to church more. Because following the Lord and using our time wisely is always going to be spent out of here more than in here. But listen to this story in Luke 12. It's a parable that Jesus tells of a rich fool. And he says the word I several times. He says, the ground of a rich person produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Newsflash, give it away to people who are hungry. Doesn't say that in the text, sorry. Verse 18, then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will store my grain and my goods, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. So take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God will say to him, you fool. That very night, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what he has prepared for himself? God gave him all that, obviously, so he could help others. Just a reminder that we can even confuse ourselves sometimes with religious activity. If we do enough things that we put in the God category, we can kind of check that box and say, I've given, you know, more than the average amount of time in the course of this week to God. We can't be fooled by that kind of living because Jesus says the one who walks in the light, in the presence of the living God, will have a path that will work out and it'll make sense. And you walk in darkness, you're walking in the mindset that says, this is all mine anyway, and I can kind of divvy it up. I hope you'll let these words of Jesus, in the midst of this great story of the raising of a dead man, kind of run over you a little bit this weekend. As we think about what it means to give of ourself, of our resources and our talents and our time. There's a song that I love. I love Chris Rice. Maybe you know who he is, a great songwriter. It's an old song called Life Means So Much. And it has a great second verse. And I just want to read it to you as we get ready to close. Every day is a bank account, and time is our currency. So no one's rich and no one's poor. We get 24 hours each. So how are you going to spend? Will you invest or squander? Try to get ahead or help someone who's under? And then he quotes the words from the psalm, teach us to count the days. Teach us to make the days count. Lead us in better ways. Because somehow our souls forgot But life means so much. God has given us so much time. And he calls us into the light to walk with him through it. Let's think about that this week, this weekend. Am I walking not in just the religious idea of what is right and wrong, but am I walking in the light, in the very presence of the living God, that I'm hearing his voice and following him moment by moment, second by second? That's the call for all of us. We're going to have a word of prayer and a short little time of invitation, because you never know. There may be someone who's sitting here and they're going, I'm in darkness. I'm lost as I can be. And tonight that's bothering you so much that you're ready to deal with that. But for the rest of us, we probably are just in that. Good reminder. Thank you for that. And you need to take just a few moments and pray and remind yourself and talk to God. God, every second belongs to you. Help me walk in the light of your presence this week. And so we're going to give you that time as we sing a closing hymn. So let me have a word of prayer with us, and then we'll stand and sing together. Lord, I just pray that you could teach us to number our days. Teach us, Lord, tomorrow morning when we wake up, just bring to our remembrance that every second of tomorrow belongs to you. It never belonged to us. But you've given us what we have. And we can walk in the light of a relationship with you that will lay out before us, and it'll just blow us away the great things you will do in us and through us. Or we can walk in the darkness of the thought that we're in control of anything, and we can stumble and fall. Oh Lord, help us to long and hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Christ, that we would walk in your presence every day. And now, Lord, as we stand to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, we pray that that would be the case, that you could have your way among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this hymn, and come if you need to.